It's Chris on the match.
I'm lost for words.
The original trash head, Chris Evans.
The guy didn't get cracked open. He wasn't really wrestling.
Chris
on the match.
You can make people sit their butts in those seats. Your box office.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
You're changing your Depends over to diapers.
Back at Turnbuckle Trash, joined by Chris Evans, Chris on the mat, getting ready for WrestleMania weekend, the last weekend of March. I can't wait. It's going to be fun.
Oh, Lord, I wish I could go to WrestleCon. Of all the people that I see right now that are supposed to be there, from Diamond Dallas Page to Ric Flair to Sting, Bully Ray, good grief.
Yeah, that's just the people at the autograph sessions. That's at the Sheraton Hotel in New Orleans, WrestleCon. It's the same weekend as WrestleMania. All these different promotions are going to be putting on shows all over the area, including you and I had talked about a little bit earlier with the guys from Impact and the Lucha Underground are going to be putting on events. But, boy, if you want to look at WrestleCon.com, and you can see this entire lineup of people that are going to be doing autograph sessions.
You got everybody from Austin Aries, Mick Foley, Ted DiBiase, Brutus Beefcake, Demolition. Good grief, look at these. Tony Atlas. Here's a name I haven't heard in a long time. Larry Zbysko. Good grief.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. You got,
and then you've got women like, you're going to have Velvet Sky's going to be there. The lady who portrayed Victoria, you're going to have Brooke Adams, Miss Brooke from TNA, women wrestlers, tag team wrestlers, even a referee. Danny Davis is going to be there.
Yep, I can see that there. Yes, my gosh. Terry Taylor. Good Lord. You know what? If you had to, I know you have to pay for these autographs. I think your wallet would be empty by the time you got done just with that. I mean,
well, you and I would probably spend dollar of money at Jerry Lawler's place, right?
Yes, in about 5 seconds. Anything that man had, I'd be like, "Look, I'll take it all."
I'll just take it all right now. Put it on credit card.
Here you go. It'll melt before it's over with. There you go.
It's just a who's who. I think Mean Gene Okerlund's going to be there, too. So
yeah, Bob Backlund, D'Lo Brown, Ken Anderson, Eric Bischoff. Good grief. There's going to be everybody from TNA, Lucha, WWE, former Sabu is going to be there. Good grief. Yeah, it's going to be very interesting.
That's incredible, isn't it?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting.
There's a couple of people there that I've had a chance to meet. The Godfather is going to be there, and Ron Simmons is going to be there. From WWE, also AAA, Super Crazy is going to be there. I recently went to an event where he was there, and it's just like a who's who of professional wrestling. They're going to have some Japanese stars there from New Japan. And then not only that, Chris, they're going to have almost wall-to-wall wrestling going on. Wrestle shows after one wrestling show, after another wrestling show. I don't think I'd ever leave the Sheraton Hotel.
No. Yeah, I mean, I think that WrestleCon is probably going to try to outdo WrestleMania. And I think that they're going to be able to do it, too.
I was looking at that today, and I was looking at all the different wrestling shows that are going to be there. And as much as I would love to go to WrestleMania, and you and I talked about it, you know, if it comes down to Las Vegas again, maybe we'll be there in Vegas and go, I don't know if I'd go to the Mania event itself. I think I would, at this point, looking at what's going on, I would rather go to WrestleCon.
I don't blame you one bit because, like we've talked before, there's a lot more wrestlers that we know back in the day at WrestleCon than we do that's in the business now. I'd rather see Action Smash or Demolition. I'd rather go see the Honky Tonk Man, get a picture with Ricky Steamboat, or see Ric Flair, because we don't know how much longer Ric Flair's going to be around. There's going to be some wrestlers that, we have no idea. And there's a lot of wrestlers that if you had children, you can say this was the guy that I watched on Saturday mornings, and this is the guy that burned this one with a fireball or something like that. And this guy threw fire on him? Really, Dad? Okay.
Yeah, it would be kind of fun to see that. But, of course, Mania, the MK Bandit, mm-hmm. when we had him on last year with us after WrestleMania, he said, you know, as a wrestling fan, you need to go one time. And I think I'd probably have to go get a bank loan. If it was in Las Vegas, I'd have to hit a big jackpot or something. I don't know if I could control myself. It would just be that much fun.
I'd probably run out of money probably on the first two or three booths. If I could buy one of the championship belts, I'd do that, the older ones. And yeah, getting Jerry Lawler's autograph or getting someone just to see him. Shoot, I'd pay $20 to shake Ric Flair's hand if I could and say thank you for the memory. That's what we need to do. We need to go and see these old-time wrestlers and thank them for everything that they put their body through with us.
Oh, there's going to be so many different promotions down in that area that are going to be putting on shows, and you get all that information at WrestleCon.com. I was looking at that today. I mean, it's going to be absolutely incredible, just absolutely incredible. So
yeah,
you talked about some old-time wrestlers. There's been a little controversy over the last 24 to 36 hours, and this afternoon, now we're recording this on a Thursday afternoon, the 15th of March. The WWE this afternoon made the announcement that they are changing the name of the Fabulous Moolah Women's Battle Royal to the WrestleMania Women's Battle Royal because of the controversy involved with the name with the Fabulous Moolah. Now, you know and I know that the wrestling business has changed so much over the last 20 to 25 years.
Oh yeah.
The wrestling business, when I was younger, there were some really shady characters involved with this.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of wrestling fans would say, yes, Vince McMahon is one of them. But
oh yeah.
The Fabulous Moolah, held the women's title for so many years, basically because she was the main promoter of women's wrestling. And there have been allegations, and once again, I want to put allegations out there, but a lot of people have been making these allegations that she would verbally and physically abuse the women she was training. And then there's also been allegations of Moolah basically pimping out the girls. So she allegedly, once again, was kind of running a brothel of professional wrestling. So...
Wow.
You can almost understand why the WWE has backpedaled from this name of this, the Fabulous Moolah. I wanted to get your 2 cents worth in here.
Well, with all the allegations with the Fabulous Moolah, I haven't really kept up with her career. I remember her from the WWF, and if the allegations are true, and everything does come up, and they had to change it. They had no choice because, from what I can read here, Stephanie McMahon on Twitter, thank you, WWE Universe, for using your voice and changing the Battle Royal to be historic. Okay, you changed it, but there's still a bad taste in a lot of people's mouths because you brought up this woman that, I mean, you've seen the Fabulous Moolah. I've only seen her when she was with the WWF through the Attitude Era. That's all I remember her from. I don't remember hardly any of her matches.
I saw her wrestle a few times. Now, she started off basically as a valet to the original Gorgeous George. And then she went on to become a performer. And the allegations are more than allegations. There are people out there that would go to court on this one. I'm not kidding you. I recently finished the book that your uncle gave me for Christmas, the Frequently Asked Questions about Professional Wrestling. And they went into the allegations quite a bit. And then all these other allegations that have come out over the last few days since they named it after the Fabulous Moolah. I'm taken aback, but I'm also putting it into context. Because the business has changed so much, I am not surprised that they changed the name, because frankly, if I had any dealings with the Fabulous Moolah, and I did not, I would be ashamed to know, if I knew for a fact that she was doing that, that I didn't do anything about it.
I would agree with that.
If the allegations are true, it's wrong. It's wrong.
Yes.
It's wrong.
Yes.
And once again, I'll put in there, if the allegations are true, and I'm not the judge, I'm not the jury, I'm just saying that if they are true and they're found to be true, and evidence at this point makes me think that they are true, once again, think, that's the big word, think that they are true, then I fully support the WWE in changing that.
Well, I don't blame you one bit, and I don't blame the WWE for make sure that everybody is happy and everybody is well taken care of. They don't want to offend anyone. This is a multi-billion-dollar company, and the last thing they want is heat over a lady that has already passed on to the next life. And it leaves a bad taste in everybody's mouth. And so they're just going to have a 24-women battle royal, and that's it. And it's not going to be named anything. Well, that's fine. I mean, I don't blame them. Congratulations, WWE, for doing what was right by changing this.
So one other quick question before I let you go, Chris.
Yes, sir.
We know the WWE Hall of Fame is coming up, and they have announced two people in the past 2 weeks since we've done this. One is in the celebrity wing, and that is Kid Rock. What do you think about that one?
Not a real big fan of Kid Rock. Got to see him in Paris, Tennessee. He's always down with Hank Williams Jr., all the time in Paris, in Paris Landing. He's okay, but to be in the Hall of Fame, what has he done to be in the WWE Hall of Fame?
Well, for one thing, he's performed the most on the Raw shows and at Mania. And then the other thing that would put him in there, he wrote the entrance theme for The Undertaker of the American Badass.
Ah, yes. The wonderful theme that everybody loves to sing every now and then, and it brings back good memories. Yes, the American Badass. Yeah, I could see that. I just didn't understand why they're going to put him in. I know as a celebrity, that's fine, but as a contributor, that's fine.
They do that. I mean, Drew Carey's in there, you know, come on. President Trump's in there, you know. So there's a lot of, in the celebrity ring, Pete Rose, you know. Does that mean that if The Undertaker comes back, which it looks like he probably will, that he'll come in as the American Badass, as you and Zane have predicted?
Yeah, I think Zane and I are gloating still about that, because what better way to, no pun intended, have one last ride as the American Badass? I don't know if The Undertaker's going to come back or not. We've already discussed this before. If he does, this will be hopefully the final time. Mark Calloway, please, you need to stop. It's over. You just don't have the spunk anymore. It's kind of sad to see him in the ring sometimes. But we'll see what happens. Hopefully he'll be back in the ring.
If he can come back as the American Badass, I will be happier with that. Because I love that character of The Undertaker. When he always changed up a little bit here and there. When he'd ride that Harley down the ring, whew, that was awesome, you know? I love that quite a bit, but.
The one person that said that what fans really wanted to see was, Paul Bearer, Percy Pringle, said that the fans wanted to see the old Undertaker with the purple gloves, the first time he ever showed up. The purple gloves, the rings under his eyes, and the way that he would command the ring, and he sold nothing, and when he would fall down, he'd just pop right back up like a corpse would just jump. And that's what they wanted to see. That's what they want to see. But, no, that's not gonna happen. I wish it would. I'd love to see the old Undertaker. I'd love to see the old Undertaker, but yeah, as the American Badass, that would be very interesting to see. I hope he comes back as the American Badass.
Well, that's who I would like to see myself. Then one other question I have for you, Chris, and if I can get Zane on with us, I'm going to ask him this same question. Hillbilly Jim.
My favorite.
Do you really consider him a Hall of Famer?
Oh, that's a really good question.
I wouldn't.
Hillbilly Jim, to me, was a comedy thing because Vince McMahon hated the South. He hated Southern people. We all knew that. Made fun of him all the time. As a Hall of Famer, no. I don't see him as a Hall of Famer because he really didn't do anything for wrestling. I mean, he was a good wrestler at first, but then he became just a figure. There was really nothing there. I don't see him as a Hall of Famer. I don't know why they put him in. But he was a favorite one of mine when I was a little kid. I liked him, but.
Well, you know, he had his fans there, but I just, you know, my thing is, was he big enough to be in the Hall of Fame? Which, that's just me, you know. I don't think
he was. No, he wasn't, but you know who he wants to have him be inducted into the Hall of Fame?
That was the question I was going to ask you. None other than Hulk Hogan. Is this going to happen?
Yes, I believe it will. I believe that they will ask Hulk Hogan to come in and induct Hillbilly Jim. And when he does, that roof will blow sky high. It'll happen because everybody likes the Hulkster. Everybody loves Hogan. So, yeah, I think they'll have Hogan come in and induct Hillbilly Jim. Yes, sir. And if they don't, I don't know who could induct him. I don't remember too many matches for Hillbilly Jim. Who could be someone to induct him? I have no idea.
If this happens, I want to see how not the WWE universe says okay to Hulk Hogan. I want to see how outside of the WWE talks about Hulk Hogan now. After all the controversy from a few years ago, I want to see if people have said, you know, water under the bridge, or if they're going to be pitching a fit. And I suspect pitching a fit.
Yeah, he's still got a lot of backlash and from what had happened, but I mean, words are words. What can you do? I mean, it happened. I mean, but yeah, I think he's going to come back and they're going to have a disdain for him. The fans will love to see him, but they're going to reject him too. Some of the fans will probably sit on their hands and not worry about him anymore. I mean, how can I miss you if you won't go away?
Well, I just think it's going to be very interesting if that happens. And I'm only saying that. I'm not trying to be controversial. I just know, I'm looking at how people react today in today's world. And I'm not trying to judge what happens out there, but we have a reactionary society, to be honest with you. And a society that is very vocal when it's negative, and it's the ones that are the most negative that are the most vocal. I sound like I'm crying over spilled milk here, but I'm not. I'm actually trying to make a point. The point I'm trying to make is that in this particular age and era of what is going on in our society, sometimes it's the people that cry the loudest that are heard the most. And I'm not quite sure if that is the way things were intended.
His reputation, his demeanor and everything has really been tarnished throughout his divorces, his wife, the sex tape allegations, and the courts and everything like that. That man, his life is like a jigsaw puzzle, and there's no pieces that fit.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
it's almost a shame, but I'm not going to judge one way or the other, to be honest with you, but I am going to be an interested observer of how this next few weeks go if the Hulkster comes back and inducts Hillbilly Jim. I will be very interested to see what mainstream media does to the Hulkster, because I don't think it's going to be pretty.
No, it's not. They're going to roast him over the coals. They're going to slam his name. They're going to slander him like he hasn't been slandered before. Once you open your mouth, you can't take words back. You could try, but you can't take the words back that you've already uttered. So
yeah,
it's too late.
That was just my observation. And I'm not trying to cast aspersion on people that are anti Hulk Hogan, because I'm kind of on the fence one way or the other, to be honest with you. So, but Chris, it was really good talking to you on Chris on the Mat.
Yeah.
And I know that we're planning on doing something right after WrestleMania. We're going to try to get together as soon as we can, right after WrestleMania. And we'll probably have a very long show on that one. So, okay.
More than likely we will, but I really appreciate y'all's time. Thanks very much for having me on the show.
Okay, thanks, Chris.
More trash is on the way on TurnbuckleTrash.net.
Oh, he's got him in a subatomic headlock. Ow, that's gotta hurt.
Actually, I can tell you from experience, it does hurt.
You were a wrestler?
No, just married.
It's time to take out the trash.
I wanted to ask your opinion of one other thing. Hillbilly Jim is going to be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And he has said that to be inducted, he would like to have none other than Hulk Hogan do the induction for him. And I have not been able to find anything online on who's going to induct who this year. Do you think that the WWE would allow Hogan to come back and induct his friend Hillbilly Jim?
I don't know. Hold on, let me check and see if I'm a member of... Where's my employee badge that says WWE? No, I'm sorry. I'm not a WWE employee, and so I'm officially not relevant on this topic.
Well,
if I worked at headquarters, I might be able to tell you something, you know. But I haven't even heard any rumors. I saw that he asked that. He said that he wanted Hollywood to.
Do you think though that in this day and age, and it's such a reactionary society that we live in right now, and Chris and I talk about this, and Chris on the Mat. Do you think that those that are still upset with Hulk Hogan will not, I don't want to say allow it, but not pitch a fit about that if it does happen because of what happened in the past?
I don't know. I wish they would.
Yeah.
I wish they would.
But
I wish they would.
And I don't know if they should or shouldn't. I'm not making the judgment there. That's up to the WWE. I just wanted to get your opinion about that because we do live in such a reactionary society right now. So,
oh, absolutely. You know, I just wish for one time in somebody's life that they would stand up to those people and when in the situation like Hogan's and just say, you know what happens with Hollywood Hogan is in his own personal life and he can deal with it however he wants. And, you know, but this has got to cater to stockholders and this and that and that and this. And so, I don't know if we'll ever see that day happen.
Yeah, and when you and Chris made that same point, you know, now that the WWE is, you know, publicly traded, they have to answer to the stockholders. So I don't know, and I'm not trying to make a judgment. I just wanted your reaction because I know you've been a Hulk Hogan fan, and you're like me. I'm a Hogan fan. I don't condone what happened, but you know, still, what he meant to wrestling still is big.
Well, dude, you know, the guy put Gawker out of business, so good for him.
Yeah, hallelujah. But, yeah, you and I, neither one condone what was charged of him, so.
You sent me a thing the other day in an email, and I haven't listened to it yet, so you need to tell me what. So, a friend of ours, we've had him on the podcast multiple times. We've talked to him at live events. A current current Lucha Underground star, former WWE Tough Enough competitor, Marty the Moth Martinez, was on a podcast with X-Pac.
Yeah, the X-Pac 12360 podcast is what it's called.
Oh, well, I think Turnbuckle Trash is catchier than that.
I do, too. I bet they have 1, 2, 3 listeners. So, okay. Go ahead and ask your question, my friend.
So you said that there's a butt fumble in that podcast.
A taste of the awful. The insidious. Flying butt pliers.
The butt fumble.
And I would like to say there is a real live butt fumble from Sean Waltman, the 1-2-3 kid.
Oh.
Yeah. When you're listening to this segment here, listen very closely. And I pumped it up just a little bit, but you can hear it without any audio enhancement at all. It's Sean Waltman evidently had trouble with a bodily function that we all have. In other words, he passed gas, and it was so loud that the microphones in this studio, a large studio, picked it up very loudly. He let one rip, baby. I'm going to place this right here so you can listen. Then I'll get that sound just a little bit. So, hey, you can hear the 1-2-3 kid, and he's letting it rip right on his podcast.
I woke up in the emergency room, like, with no shirt. They didn't give me a shirt on. Frogs are in here. Crazy, right?
Yeah. I hear them all the way over on the couch. Oh,
I just cut the biggest fart, probably.
I'm sure the mic's picked it up, Sean.
He's like the fourth one today.
No one's ever cut a fart that big in the studio.
It's never picked up on the mic.
Sorry,
that one echoes.
What better way to end
the other three that he know?
Well, I can just say that hopefully that wasn't a messy situation.
With no frogs in here. Crazy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. And also part of that, yeah, here's something that you and I will agree with. Part of the podcast, right at the very beginning of the, you just cracked me up, man. Part of the interview, they ask about Marty and him becoming a wrestler because the wrestling scene in Utah is not as big in some areas. And a couple of the people in there started kind of cutting Utah a little bit, you know. But then Sean Waltman kind of defended Utah. And I thought it was a really nice thing that he did, talking about why the WWE doesn't come here quite as much as opposed to other communities. And it all has to do with the cost of putting on a show and the cost of getting to the next show. Because there, what is probably from Salt Lake to Vegas, 6 to 7 hours at the least. To get to Denver is an 8-hour drive, 8 hours to Boise, 10 hours to Reno. And so Salt Lake is a fairly large town, but to have a show, you got to book it so the next day you're going to be in a community of some.
Well, dude, time. Vegas isn't that far.
Yeah, that was the one that kind of surprised me. You know, within a 7-hour drive, that doesn't seem
too
bad.
And Boise's not that far. I don't know. Does Reno have enough people to? I guess they could do a house show in Reno and probably get a crowd.
You know, they do house shows in Salt Lake, but yeah, I don't know why. I guess the point was that I was trying to make was that people automatically want to cut Utah because, as one of the commentators in the room, the lady that was there, said, Utah is just kind of strange. Well, no, we're not. You can get anything you want in the state of Utah. You can do anything you want in the state of Utah. Sometimes it's a little bit harder to find, but it's, hey, it's here, Bubba, you know?
Oh, well, coming from, I mean, Salt Lake City is one of the most liberal cities in the fetching nation, you know?
It really is.
And you know, they've had extremely diverse leadership. Uh-huh. And so, I don't know, people, there's just some stigma out there that says that Utah's all a bunch of religious kooks, and it's like, obviously you guys haven't been to Salt Lake. You know, and actually, believe it or not, one of the communities that's about 10 miles from me has one of the largest homosexual populations in the state.
What's that community?
Spring City.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. I know yeah. that Salt Lake City has a mayor who's openly gay, and then, you know, to look at it, if you want to go maybe casinos, you're 90 minutes away from Wendover, and if you hop to a flight, which, you know, all these basketball players and all these football players and wrestlers, they could get a private flight over to Wendover and be there in 20 minutes, you know, and they've got some nice casinos over there. So I when I hear people say things that about, you know, because of the Mormon population here, and I'm just going to quite out say it. You and I have talked about, both of us are LDS of the LDS faith, but we have no problems with what people want to do, you know.
Yeah. Dude, and I'll tell you, Wendover, they get some big names out there in their concert hall, man. So if you want to, I mean, I don't know, to say some of that stuff is people obviously just haven't done the research. Now, speaking of events in Utah, guess what is coming to Nephi? And I am seriously going, dude.
What's coming to Nephi?
Extreme Midget Wrestling.
Oh, cool. When is that?
It's in May, I think.
I wonder if Scott's going to be there.
I don't know who Scott is.
Jagger
so.
Lane.
Oh.
Jagger Lane performs with him quite often.
No.
And he's a friend of the show, and we've had him on and talked about him quite a bit. And he tried out for Tough Enough a couple of years ago. So.
Yeah.
But he does a lot of things with those guys.
It's going to be Extreme Midget Wrestling in Nephi, Utah. So Friday, May 19th. So if you find yourself on the way to St. George or something, Dave, I'll be there. That'd be awesome, dude. Kind of, dude, it get one. I don't know. I don't think it was this particular promotion, but they did have a midget wrestling come to Logan a couple years ago.
Yeah, Scott was here, and I was sick that day. And you know that midget wrestling show was less than a quarter of a mile from my house.
Yeah. Yeah. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I'm gonna see if I can swing it, and if I do, I'm gonna email the promotion and see if we can get some people on the pod. What's been going on in some of the other?
A new book is coming out about the new day. It's called The Book of Booty, Shake It, Love It, Never Be It. This is kind of a comical look at the new day. They give the official definition of the word booty and the telltale signs that you or a loved one might be booty. Are you booty?
Sure. Sure.
And then they teach you how to twerk like a man. Is that possible? I guess if Big E does it, it is possible. But that book is coming out soon. And they dedicated the book, by the way, to Francesca number one.
Mm.
You remember Francesca one, don't you?
No.
It was the trombone.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson has had a couple of scares. One was really scary just a couple of weeks ago with his daughter, who had some sort of emergency medical issue. And he took to Instagram to thank the first responders. And we do have The Rock, Dwayne, talking about that, talking about a really real-life situation that happened.
This past Saturday night, something happened to me and my family that I would never want to happen to any of you guys out there. But, of course, emergencies do happen. We were up all night in the emergency room. We had something scary that happened with our little baby girl, Jasmine. She's okay now, thank God. But I just want to say thank you so much to everybody who was involved, so caring and compassionate and responsive. The 911 operator who was on the phone with me, who was extremely calm, walking me through some processes. The Los Angeles Fire Department first responders, UCLA medical team and staff, the doctors, the nurses. Again, everybody, thank you guys so, so much. And to all you mommies and daddies out there, you know, when emergencies like this happen, I would just highly recommend that you stay as calm and as focused as possible, because our little babies, energetically, they pick up on what we're putting out, especially in times of stress. So again, LAFD and UCLA.
That makes you wonder if a guy like that, how legit in real life or if he's just a jerk.
You get both sides of it. You know, sometimes I think it's what kind of mood that the person. I'll go back with Dwayne when he was filming a movie, and I think it was the first movie he was filming in the Fast and Furious franchise, that he was driving to the film set one day, and he was kind of tired, and he veered off the road slightly and hit a pickup truck, and he stayed around to make sure that, you know, he didn't hit and run. And the man that came out said there was no damage, and he was a fan of The Rock's, and he could afford to get it fixed. Well, the Rock came back the next day with money and went to this guy's house and gave him the money. And I did read one time that The Rock, he was talking about his own personality a little bit, and that his personality with people kind of changed a little bit after his Nia Jax were involved in that very bad accident where his mother almost died, if you remember that. He said that kind of shook him a little bit, and it kind of made him rethink his priorities in life. He's been doing some very nice work, very nice things. And, of course, he had that big argument with Vin Diesel. I don't know if that's ever been resolved. So, did you see the movie Baywatch?
Yeah, I saw it. It was terrible. It was a waste of $10 in the theater, I'll tell you that.
But did you get good popcorn? That's the question.
Yeah. I'm just waiting for the day when movies are streamed right to my living room and I can pop my own popcorn and pay $10 and not have to go out and sit by some ignorant a-hole on his cell phone the whole time.
But The Rock got an award for that movie, Baywatch.
Did he get a Razzie? He
got a Razzie award. And he took it in stride. It was awesome.
Oscar Sunday, I'm super pumped and very proud for my buddies who have been nominated tonight, pulling for you guys to bring home the gold. I'm also excited because I was just informed that I, too, am bringing home the gold tonight. No, not an Oscar, maybe one day, but a Razzie. Razzie are the annual awards given out to Hollywood's worst movies, and I have officially won one for Baywatch. But here's the cool thing. The movie was so bad, they actually had to create another category. I'm not kidding. That category, the new category is a movie so rotten, you eventually fell in love with it. Humbly and graciously, accept my Razzie.
It was pretty bad, dude. It was pretty bad.
Hey, did I sent you something, I don't know if you had a chance to listen to it or not, about Braun Strowman?
I don't know.
Braun Strowman? Well, Braun Strowman, he was raised in North Carolina, and he loves North Carolina, but for some reason, and
Hey, do you know who else is living in North Carolina? I think our friend Chris lives in North Carolina.
That's right. And he's changing diapers into Depends. He's going to kill us. But Braun Strowman also is a big fan of the state of Washington. Evidently, he spends a lot of time in the state of, not Washington, Wisconsin. He stays a lot of time in Wisconsin. And he appeared recently on a TV show called The Larry Allen Show in Milwaukee. And he talked about when he went to a Milwaukee Brewers game and he was treated very nicely by the Milwaukee Brewers. And that led into a story about Braun Strowman and how he came up with the name Braun Strowman. And it has to do with baseball player, Ryan Braun.
The Brewers PR guy comes and grabs me and takes me and my cousin down to the press box and takes us downstairs and meet the players and stuff. And funny story, I wanted to meet Ryan Braun because that's a big influence of where Braun came from, the Braun Strowman. I had pitched a bunch of ideas for different names with the company, and they turned them all down, and it kind of got down to a time crunch of, we need to figure something out now. And we were sitting around the Performance Center, and Sports Center was on, and they were talking about Ryan Braun. I was like, Braun. I was like, that sounds pretty good. I mean, look at me. I mean, I'm 6'8", 385 pounds. I mean, Braun's pretty fitting.
Right.
Well, my man, lots going on. WrestleMania is coming up. Lots of indies going on. We got the speculation of The Undertaker returning. We've got so much to cover.
Right before we get to WrestleMania, I guess everything is going to go really good. We're getting all these great shows. I mean, Raw has been awesome the last couple weeks, despite what happened with the Ultimate Deletion. But
it's- you know, I'll tell you, I'm excited for the Monday night after Raw, because guess who's returning? Well, it's, again, just speculation and news, but who do we want to see beat up Brock Lesnar?
Anybody?
Another MMA fighter, wrestled for TNA, previously wrestled for WWE. Who is an MMA fighter, fights for Bellator?
Oh, Bobby Lashley!
Oh, I hope they make it happen before Brock quits. I'd like to see. I wouldn't be mad if he returned and got the title, and then a feud with him, between him and Roman Reigns would be good.
Drew McIntyre looks like he's coming back from his injury.
So will he go to NXT or to the main roster?
I think he's going to go to the main roster. There's been talk about, before his injury, he was getting ready to come up and he was going to do a feud with Finn Balor.
Dude, so I watched, I don't know what it's called. It's on the WWE Network the other day. I was watching it, and it was the one where they go drive to different venues and stuff, and they have the cameras in the car. And then what I watched was Elias and the Club. The Club is funny. Like, the whole time, they had this, like, the car that they rented, they played a prank on Finn Balor. And they put a cardboard cutout of AJ Styles in the front seat. And so, like, he goes to get in the front, and they're like, oh, looks like the true leader of the Bullet Club's already taken your spot, man. They're giving him crap. They're like, here, come sit back by me, AJ. And they, like, pull the cardboard cutout to the back. And then they were, like, by the way AJ talks and just. It was this funny.
Yeah, he's a good old Southern boy himself, too. You know, he talks about being from the South quite often. Breaking news. Breaking news from the WWE on this very date. I don't know if you've seen it yet or not, but Daniel Bryan has been medically cleared to come back and compete in the ring.
And over the last 2 months, I've asked WWE to relook at my case. And they sent me to the best neurologist all over the country. And all of these neurologists, every specialist, every doctor I've seen has said the same thing, and it is this. You are cleared. I don't know exactly when or where I will get back in this ring. Does that sound like a good idea? I don't know for sure if that's going to happen, but will Daniel Bryan compete in a WWE ring again?
That's been great. Is there anything else? Well, I mean, we didn't. Okay, you have. Okay, tell me a shortened version of what's been going on in the indies.
Impact and as part of the WrestleCon. And ROH is going to be there also. There has been news coming out of ROH that the Bullet Club is kind of breaking up because Kenny Omega and Cody are now feuding, and they're actually going to wrestle each other as the main event at the Supercard of Honor. And then one other thing, it looks like early September is going to be the date. Chicago will be the place for that bet that's going on between Dave Metzler, also Cody Rhodes, and the Young Bucks, that ROH cannot put 10,000 people into a stadium for a show. And Cody and the Young Bucks are putting up the money. They're backing up their mouth. And ROH is also supporting them. But the money is being put up by Cody Rhodes and also by the Young Bucks, that they can put 10,000 people into a stadium.
Mm.
And more ROH news really quickly before you have to go. That cruise that we were talking about, the Chris Jericho cruise, that ROH is having a small tournament on the cruise ship itself. It is being filmed for a broadcast TV segment in Canadian TV. Hopefully it will be available someplace here in the States, too. That would be pretty good. Chris Jericho will be the host of that Chris Jericho cruise. Wouldn't that be fun to go see Chris Jericho?
Yeah. Oh, dude, that would be awesome. We've been talking with a couple friends down here about going on a cruise, and I saw that on Facebook, and I tagged my wife and a bunch of people, and I said, now this is the cruise we're going on. Right. Oh, real quick, I got to tell you a story. Okay. So I went to this training this last week up in Draper, and, you know, and everybody, they're going around the room, and they're like, oh, okay, tell us what you do, tell us what your likes are, and they're like, everybody's like, I like hunting, I like fishing, I like jeeping. And I was like, you know, and they got to me and they're like, you know, what do you do? And I said, oh, I hope one day to have a career instead of just a job, and, you know, being a little bit facetious. And I said, listen, what do you like to do? And I said, well, I says, I enjoy watching professional wrestling. And they're like, huh? And the instructor, he's been an instructor. He's like, you know, he says, I've been doing this for 20 some odd years. I've been around the country. I've been in other continents. I've been around the world and taught classes and stuff. He says, and in all my years, I have never, ever heard somebody say, I like professional wrestling. He said, so good on you.
And I would bet, how many people were there?
No, there was, I think, 8 or 9.
I would think that at least one of them is a closet fan.
Oh, I think pretty much all of them. Oh, yeah, does The Rock still do it? Oh, yeah, well, I used to follow when The Rock did it. Oh, yeah. Is that John Cena? Oh, is that John Cena guy still there? It's like, yeah.
But I'm still telling everybody, and I try to do something about this guy every podcast, you need to watch Punishment Martinez in ROH. This guy is going to be a major star if he can avoid injury. And, you know, some of the other things that can happen to people in life, this guy could be a major star. Punishment Martinez, ROH, great wrestler.
Sweet.
Nothing but a huge upside for that man.
Well, now it's time to say goodbye. I do that every time, don't I? Is that getting old? That's probably getting old.
It's getting old.
Yeah.
You got to think of another one, huh?
I guess. Maybe you should think of another one.
It's kind of like
going to Chili's and always getting baby back ribs because you know that that's what's good. You know, you're safe with baby back ribs. You just know. Or triple dippers. You know that those two you're safe with. You know, they just came out with a brand new dish that looks amazing, and it has steak and shrimp and fish and pasta and stuff. You're making me hungry. But you don't order it. Do you know why?
Why? Because he asked.
Because you don't know. And you know that baby back ribs are good.
And so are the fried pickles.
So you never had them. I just get triple dippers or baby back ribs.
Branch out, my friend.
Out. Come up with some new crap, he says.
No, you can go ahead and sing. I'm not stopping you from your goodbye.
Fine. Thanks, Dave. I'll just do the woman thing. Whatever.
Send your comments to Zane Peterson at Turnbuckle Trash.
Yes.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
Those guys look big and mean. I think they want to hurt us.
What do you call that, a flying springboard knee to the face?
Oh, that works.
I like to hurt people.
Pretending to wrestle is the most fun in the whole world.
The thoughts and opinions heard on the preceding program are not necessarily those of an intelligent human being. If you don't agree with them, get your own dang pod.
Dummy.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. And in the immortal words of Ric Flair,
woo!
Pretty much match crap.
I put a shovel on mine. He saw three people, probably four.
That legend right there, he'd probably put you in a coma and me in cardiac arrest.
Yeah.
Oh. He should be this unstoppable brute. It looks like a little chihuahua is sitting on the top of his head and holding on to their life.
He's going to do something with his Depends on this very, very podcast that we have right here.
He saves me on shampoo. Who wants to see a 7-year-old man in Depends?
Have you got something wrong, against the fine product called Depends?
Talent and Wit, unfortunately, couldn't be with us tonight, so instead we have Dr. Dave!
I mean, how can I miss you if you won't go away? And John Cena, we never saw you whatsoever, but that's okay, because we don't want to see you anymore.
Or something, you can roll with me, or you... Radio Edit.